Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 158. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffey is with me, although he is over there manning the camera because if you're hearing this in podcast form, we welcome you. But if you're watching it live, that's right, live, we are streaming on YouTube, testing out this brand new content application possibility that we've been working on, streaming live with this Mevo camera here. My boy Adam Hill is over here from Las Vegas. How you doing, my bud?
I'm good. I don't know why you're having me on. There's like nothing to talk about.
Exactly. Nothing to talk about.
In the world of MMA. It's probably going to be a boring show, but hey, whatever. It's your world. Like, you want me to come on? I'll come on.
We're in Brooklyn, New York, UFC 223, Khabib versus Holloway, and I don't even know what else is left after that. This thing is becoming an absolute mess, and what a night to be able to stream live for the first time, because a man that was right there front and center, a good friend of the MMA Roadshow, a good friend of ours, Alex Davis, is in the house having a nice frosty beverage with us. We certainly appreciate it.
If but not, I would not have come.
I know that. I know that about you. I have to ply you with a cocktail or two or you're not coming. So listen, Alex, let's just get down to it. I mean, there's no way getting around what happened today. It has been absolute chaos, right? I mean, it was this amazing card, this, you know, fun event that everybody was looking forward to, UFC 223. I mean, top fights, like top to bottom, right? Everybody was excited about it. And then everything just went nuts today, and you had a front row seat, and you have had a front row seat for a lot of stories, right? I mean, we talked before. If anybody doesn't know, if anybody isn't familiar with Alex Davis, I mean, his roots go deep in the MMA game, the Brazilian scene, and you've seen a lot of stuff. But what went down today? And I know we're all still kind of processing it and figuring out, but what went down today? I mean, this has to rank up there with some of the craziest.
Well, it's like I've told you, the only thing I haven't seen in MMA yet is cows flying, because everything else I've seen, you know. And what happens, I mean, that this absolutely has never happened to me, but I've seen lots of fights and soccer games and judo competitions and jiu-jitsu competitions, and it doesn't really fluster me when things like that happen. But there were some points where it was really scary.
All right, so by now I'm assuming if you're tuning into the MMA Roadshow, you're probably a hardcore MMA fan. You know what happened. Let's start from the beginning, right? I mean, if we're going to go way back, I guess if we're really going to start from the beginning, and maybe I don't know how much you knew about this, and maybe, Adam, you can weigh in as well, but this goes back a couple days, right? And I guess, I mean, really the genesis is way older than that, but when it kind of blew up was this week, and Khabib Nurmagomedov and Artem Lobov had a confrontation in the hotel, the New York Marriott. Brooklyn Bridge is the host hotel once again, same host hotel as last time, and there was a confrontation, and a video came out on the internet, on Twitter, on social media. A video came out that showed Khabib and a pretty large team of people around him confronting Artem Lobov, and I was told, and maybe Adam, you can weigh in on kind of what reporting you did, but I was told that, you know, there was a slap that happened before that we didn't see, so the video doesn't start exactly when the incident happened. But that happened, and maybe you can say what you say, Adam. And did you see that, Alex? Were you around it?
No, I heard about it.
Okay, you heard about it. So, Adam, you did some reporting as well. I mean, yeah, I know that you
said it goes back to that incident. It goes back before. It goes back to an interview that Artem Lobov had done.
Right.
Where he essentially I always forget. No, you can curse.
No, you can cuss. Okay, that's great. Sure. Yeah.
He essentially called Khabib a pussy. And, you know,
I
did not
that was the well. Word you were going to use. Jeez.
No, I'm just kidding. I mean, you know, I do.
Whoa, hey.
I do a terrestrial radio okay, show every right. day. I can't say anything. It goes back to that. And Nurmagomedov said today, he's been saying all week, nothing happened, nothing happened, nothing happened. We know that's his company line. But today he finally said afterwards when, he talked later on after the incident happened, he said, I basically went up and said, don't ever say that about me again.
Right.
Which I think there was more said than that. But it was basically stemming back to that one interview. And, you know, Nurmagomedov didn't like it, and he let him know about it. But, again, it was 20 guys with Nurmagomedov, and it was Artem and a couple.
Yeah, what are you gonna do?
PR people. Like, so it was a weird situation.
That was Tuesday, right? Tuesday, because we got in on Tuesday, and I was actually scheduled, myself and Cole Coffey. We had an interview set up with Artem Lobov on Wednesday. Love talking to Artem, man. He's a great interview. I mean, if he gets hate, people talk about him. His record's not that good. Oh, you're only here because of Conor. But he's a fighter, man. He comes out to scrap, and I think he's a fun interview. So we were set to talk to him. He was basically pulled from all interviews. Everything he had scheduled, pulled from. They didn't let him talk to anybody. They basically holed him up and didn't let him have access to anybody. And kind of what we heard behind the scenes was, okay, listen, this incident may have not seemed that bad, but it's boiling under the surface a little bit. There's more to this than everybody might know, and you know, we're kind of keeping this under wraps, right? And then today, Thursday, media day, we go through the whole day. We have the media day. We have our face offs. We have our stare downs. We're basically done. I mean, we're inside the lobby of the Barclays Center, and we're kind of basically starting to process photos, process video, and then out of the corner of the eye, Conor McGregor and a group of, we ended up talking to Dana White. He said 30. I said maybe 20. 20 yeah. to 30. I think 20.
I think it was 15.
I don't think
to 20.
It wasn't that many.
Not even that many. 10 to 15. No. A group. Basically,
yeah, a group.
They came storming in. And it was kind of weird because they came storming in. And at this point, Alex, you were already down below. And we'll get to that. You were here with your fighter. Renato Moicano. So you were here with him. And you guys were already down below. We were still up top kind of working. And it wasn't clear really where he was going, where Conor was running. We were all obviously in chaos trying to get little phone clips or whatever because, you know, Conor's big news, of course. He runs in, and there's some UFC staff there that it looks like got him into an elevator, basically, He goes down below, and so it was just kind of weird. Like, we were all like, well, that was bizarre and odd. And then all hell broke loose below because you were basically already – you were on – quote unquote the bus, right? You were there.
So you know, looking back at such a chaotic situation, you know, and trying to piece back the memories of everything that happened, because I was sitting there ready to go back to the hotel, you know, like I've always been. And Khabib's there, and Rose is there, and Chiesa is there, and I'm with Renato, and I'm sitting there looking on my iPhone like everybody does, and all of a sudden I start hearing some noise. And I hear somebody slap the window of the bus, and I see Khabib get up, and things start getting heated, you know. And I didn't really see what was happening. I couldn't understand it. You know, it takes a while to understand. You're under attack.
Yeah,
you're under attack.
I mean, and you're like that. I guess where the bus was, it's the bowels of the Barclays. It's kind of cool. They're loading dock like. You're in a concealed area. It's not a normal loading dock in an arena. Because it's built in New York, they've got this thing where, like, you know, 18-wheel trucks can drive on this platform, and then it circles
around
so they can drive out because there's no room for the – I mean, this is state-of-the-art. It's cool, but it's in a bunker.
Yeah.
It's in a bunker.
Yeah. So at that point, you know, things start happening real fast, you know, and people start slamming the bus and slamming on the window, and Khabib's sitting right in front of me. And Khabib and Rizvan start getting up, and then I realize we're under attack, you know. And then, you know, shit starts getting loose, you know. And then all of a sudden, something hits the windshield, and that cracks. And then something hits the left side window, front window of the bus, and it breaks.
Wow.
Okay. And I look at Chiesa, he's bleeding. And I'm near Khabib, and I knew about the Lobov thing. I didn't know exactly what it was, but in my mind, I said, these are Russians. This is a Russian mob. So I come after Khabib and I say, Khabib, calm down. Calm down. Don't try to go out. Don't get down. Get down. These guys could shoot. I'm thinking,
Russian
mob, they could shoot. So I'm trying to calm Khabib down, and Khabib is, no, I'm accustomed to this shit. Fuck them. He's cursing them in Russian, and they're cursing back from the window. You know, I'm trying to calm him down, you know, and very chaotic scene. I'll tell you something, though. Joe Williams from the UFC, he was very, very clear-minded at the moment. He closed the door of the bus so nobody could get off and nobody could come on, and he faced the guys.
Joe Williams, head of security.
That's right.
Probably
most – he saved the day.
Most famous up to this point is being the guy that Jones and Cormier, I mean, got injured in that melee, right? I mean, it was in there, so – he got right in the line of fire.
Joe saved the day there.
So you know.
Hold on. I'm going to jump in because I just listened to the story. In your mind, did Conor know exactly where Khabib was on the bus, or were they just kind of going around trying to guess or trying to figure it out?
Well, you got to remember, these are fighters. Khabib, when you get confronted, he's confronting too. So the moment he saw that it was about him, he got up, he wanted to fight. Mm-hmm. And he's cursing him back. And I'm, you know, the first thing that came in my mind, I'm from Brazil. So I think somebody's going to start shooting.
Right.
That's the first thing. So I tried to pull Khabib down, but Khabib ain't going to be pulled down. So then I tried to call. I said, Khabib, calm down. It's not worth it. Just not worth it. Don't do it. Just not worth it. Not worth going out there. That's, and I'm thinking if somebody breaks this window, or they're going to come in, or we're going to go out.
Right.
You know? And it's a very chaotic situation. Like I said, I've seen a lot of stuff in my life, but this ranks up there.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, longtime USC, WC exec Reed Harris, he actually said for a minute he felt like, you know, their life was in danger. I mean, was it that chaotic that, like, for a moment you don't – I mean, if you think Russian mafia is involved, right? Like, you got to be a little scared.
Well, John, you know what? When you've been in situations like that, I have something in me that I crystallize. I don't really lose a heartbeat. When you smell blood, you know what you're talking about, right. You know? But Chris Bovino, he was ducking there, and dude had his head down and his ass up. He was – poor guy, you know, and – yeah, I mean,
Chris Bovino, UFC exec, he's got fine hair.
But the real problem was that from us inside the bus, we couldn't exactly tell what was happening. You see,
right?
For me, I'm a fighter. I've been in a lot of situations. If I can see what's happening, but there I was a sitting duck because I couldn't get off the bus, I couldn't fight, I couldn't defend myself, I couldn't do nothing.
Right.
And that was a very, for me, it's a scary situation. I'm accustomed to being able to do something.
Now, you said Joe Williams, like, stood and kind of got the bus door closed. Were people trying to get off the bus? I mean, were there people that were trying to, like, go engage Connor?
Because a lot of people were standing up.
Tough to see.
So I don't know if people were trying to come off the bus, on the bus, or they were getting off the bus. I don't know what was happening. I heard Joe say, close the door of the bus, close the door of the bus, and I saw him face somebody. Right. I don't know who it was because I didn't have a really good view of what exactly was happening. I was hearing everything hit the bus. I was hearing the glass broken, everything else happening, but I did not really get to see. And then the Moicano's wife said, it's Connor. And in my mind, I said, what the fuck is Connor? You're crazy. What is he doing?
Yeah, right. At that point, you guys don't even know it's Connor McGregor, right?
In my mind, because you remember, I've been in New York here when Bigfoot fought Fedor.
Sure.
So I know who these guys are.
Right.
I've seen them. I've seen how they are. So in my mind, it was Russian mafia because I knew that, that the first thing clicked in my mind, you know. And in my mind, what would Connor be doing here, you know?
Right. So, all right, so there's this chaos ensuing. I guess, I mean, from the videos that have happened, so what at that point, the bus drives away? Is that how you finally got away?
What they did is they closed down the little gate that closes. Then we were locked inside.
Oh, wow.
We were locked inside.
I couldn't tell from the video I'd seen what the perspective was.
And you know what? For me, my sensation was I don't know if there's 10, there's 20, there's 30. I don't know if they have guns. I don't know what's happening.
So
I'm feeling like a sitting duck. I don't know what's happening, you know?
And then immediately after that, you said you saw Chiesa was bleeding. Now, I guess, what we're hearing, I mean, we're doing this live as we do this. I mean, it's a little before 10 o'clock here in New York. I think, Adam, you and I kind of confirmed it the both time, right? It does sound like Chiesa's fight is definitely off at this point.
Chiesa is 100% off.
Okay, Chiesa's definitely out.
Which is the right decision, by the way.
You said there were pretty severe cuts.
Chiesa had a cut that needed at least three. I'm accustomed to looking at cuts and kind of judging them. He had a cut that had to have at least three stitches. And, because they tried to glue it, but the right thing would have been to stitch it because it was right in the middle of the eyes, okay?
They tried to glue it because stitching would have ruled him out immediately. As
and
soon as you have stitches, you're done.
And the thing is that, you know, I mean, all Pettis had to do was look at it and start bleeding.
Right.
Okay, so the right – if he was my fighter, I would have not even thought about putting him in the fight. It wasn't worth it.
So you guys saw – I mean, you guys saw him bleeding right away.
I
didn't see this clip. I think you saw it, Adam. Maybe, like, what – you could see him saying, like, he doesn't want to touch it or something.
Yeah, you could hear him. You couldn't see it. He wasn't on camera. You could hear him off camera saying, I don't even want to touch it. I don't know how bad it is. I don't know what's going
on. Yeah, because you had a big – the side glass pane broke. Okay, now we know that we have Borg with glass in his eye too.
Okay, so right? We're waiting on confirmation of that. There are some initial reports that the Borg fight is off as well.
I was there just before I came here, and I saw his eye, and I talked to his coach, and I doubt he's fighting.
So this glass, it's safety glass, right? So yeah. it just blows in like a million pieces.
It got hit with a dolly. You know, it got hit hard. You see, everybody saw the images of Connor hitting that thing with the dolly. It just burst. You know, and at that point, I was thinking they were going to burst all the, because I can't tell how many people are out there.
Right.
You know, I didn't know.
That's nuts. So, after that all happened, so you guys get locked into an area for a little bit, and then we could see that one video, I guess you could see, like, it looks like everybody kind of corrals things, and I don't think any of us know really exactly what happened to Connor at that point and all the people that were there. But then at some point, what, they had to let that gate back down and you guys drive back to the hotel?
What happens, they stabilize the situation, which is what they needed to do. Right. I think Connor probably cleared out of there.
I actually have that video. If you go to plug my Twitter.
No, please.
If you go to my Twitter, Adam Hill, VRJ, I was sitting in Starbucks working next door. Connor runs by the front of the window, and I was like, I think Connor McGregor just ran by the window of this Starbucks. So I pulled out my phone and started taping. Connor and about 9 other people jump into an SUV that was sitting there waiting on the side of the street, and they just take off. And they got out of there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, sitting there in a, you know, just sitting there working, and, you know, I was actually writing a feature on Joanna.
Were you aware of what was going on at that time?
I knew he was there.
Okay.
I knew he'd gone in. In my mind, I was like, they're probably here. They're probably going to intimidate him.
So you hadn't seen any of these clips yet.
No.
And all of a sudden you think... No, you think you see Conor McGregor, but like, you don't know anything that happened before that.
Yeah, it's like, I think I just saw Conor McGregor run by the window of this Starbucks. Like, this is weird.
And your video shows what, like 10 guys piling into an SUV.
Some people keep saying on my Twitter that it was a clown car. Like, there's so many of them jumping in and just taking off. But yeah, they all jump in and they take off, and they're like, okay.
So that happens, and then at that point, you guys in the bus, they say, all right, we're driving back.
At that point, I think I'm going back to Rio. This place is too dangerous.
That's terrible. Oh,
no,
man.
Let's get serious about this. Okay, so let's look at what happened, what could have happened, okay? When I got back to the hotel in the bus, there were 60 Dagestani Russians waiting for Khabib. It was an army, okay? Now, if...
We just mean that in terms of number of people. We don't know if they're actually an army. It just seemed... It seemed like an army of people.
They're all
brothers. Okay, let's just clarify that.
They're all brothers.
Cousins. They're all cousins.
They're all brothers.
Okay.
They're all brothers.
Okay.
And so, you know, say Khabib had got off the bus.
Right.
Say Rizwan had got off the bus.
Right.
Say Ali had got off the bus. Say that this had turned into something worse. The risk that was taken there was huge.
Yeah.
This could have ruined MMA in New York. It could have created, I mean, you know, it could have created such a blotch on everything that we've been doing for years and years and years to make this a realistic sport.
Give us an idea if you can. And so after this all happens, myself, Adam, and Brett Okamoto as well from ESPN, we had a chance to go talk to Dana White. We were summoned, basically. There was a statement was ready to be made, and so we were there, of course, to record it. That's out. You can see that. He listened to a couple of questions, but one of the things he said, and again, this might be tough for you to answer, but I want to see if you have any insight. I mean, I know you're not a psychologist, you know, but he said that Rose Namajunas was so upset that I guess she got off the bus and walked back to the hotel.
Okay, well, let me explain you something. When you're from Brazil, like me and Renato and his wife, we're accustomed to seeing ugly things.
Right.
We're accustomed to seeing car accidents and shootouts and fights and stuff like that. When you're not accustomed to that kind of stuff, Rose is a fighter, but she's not accustomed to that kind of stuff.
Right.
She was really, really, really shooken up by this. Okay. And then her husband, Pat Barry, I was there. I said, no, we're going back. We're leaving this place. And who was going to stand in front of him? He's taking his wife away from the mess.
Right.
You know, he did the right thing. He was just taking her out of there.
Right.
You know? I mean, because remember, we don't know if there are 10 people.
So you don't know.
We don't know if it's Connor.
Yeah.
We don't know what the hell's happening. We're under attack. And we have no way of defending ourselves. You know? We're all fighters. Everyone in there, every person in there, or as a fighter, as a coach, they're all fighters. And we can't defend ourselves, you know? So she was really shook up. I felt very, very sorry for her, you know.
The situation, obviously, it gets calmed down. If it's stabilized, Connor's gone, you guys are on the bus, she gets off, then it's sit there. Was there a moment of, like, did somebody break the tension? Or did something happen where somebody goes, holy shit, was that Conor McGregor throwing stuff at our bus? Was there, like, a moment like that?
Well, it took a while for us to realize, at least myself, because I didn't believe it. I said, Connor, what do you mean, Connor? What's Connor? This is the Russian mafia. What's Connor? I mean, to me, Connor's a millionaire. He's a billionaire. What the hell? What? Why would he come? Why would a guy that's a billionaire, that's the top of his game, that's everything that he is, come with a bunch of hooligans and try to beat somebody up? This is crazy.
What was the ride back like? I mean, it's probably, what, a 10-minute ride, 15-minute ride. It's not that far,
well,
right?
1.1 miles.
One thing I will tell you that everybody, anything, any shout, any bump, anything, everybody's jumping. Everybody's
so it was just dead silence?
No, everybody's tense. Everybody's tense. Everybody's in defense mode, you know? Everybody's in defense mode. Everybody.
So you get to the hotel, and there's this group of people.
60. Well, I actually felt safe.
Okay. So you felt good at that
point. Yeah. You know, those, let me tell you, because they're not really Russians.
Right.
They're from Dagestan.
Right.
And they're very respectful people. They're very good, very nice. I've dealt with a lot of them. They're different than we are. They believe in different things. They think different. They don't drink alcohol. They don't do this. They all call themselves brothers. Mm-hmm. But I love them. I get along with them. And when I saw those guys, I should have taped it. I'm not accustomed to getting taping things.
Yeah.
I should take it. It was really beautiful to see how these guys came and embraced their guy. And they were there and said, this is our guy. Nobody's touching him.
So, they were like looking for Habib. They were trying to just.
Yeah, no, they were there and said, hey, we're here, man. You're at home now.
Wow.
Nobody's touching him.
So what's the energy like as you're getting off the bus? I mean, are you like, rush me the hell out of here and get me to my room? Or were you feeling safer at that point? Or what?
No, 60 damn Dagestanis. I'm safe as hell, man. I'm fine. I mean, those guys are for real. You know, my coach, my judo coach, lived in Russia for a year, and he told me 10 years ago, he said, Alex, wait until these guys from Russia come out here. Mm-hmm. Those are all very tough individuals.
Yeah.
You know. And another thing I talked to Rizwan, you know, and it's something I always tell people. Have you smelt blood? Have you ever smelt blood? Have you smelt blood?
Well, I mean, at fights.
Yeah. No, that's not the blood we're talking about. When you smell blood from a shooting or something, that's a very special smell. And when you say that to somebody and they've smelt it, they look at you and they know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know? So these guys know what we're talking about. These guys, they've been through much, much worse. It's like Khabib was saying, this is nothing, man. Listen, I'm from Dagestan. This is nothing. He was telling me, and he was trying to tell me, listen, what he was saying is Lobov could have fought me on Tuesday. Right. But he was a little pussy. He sat there, and now he comes with a big gang. He's a coward.
Right.
And that is true.
What was Habib's energy like the whole time? Did he know right away what was going on?
He knew right away what was going on. He's very, very composed. I mean, these guys come from a place that you guys don't understand. Mm-hmm. They're very composed. They're not afraid of anything. Okay, I'm telling you, Rizwan, Ali... Ali was flustered up. Ali was all over the place.
Ali's a hothead, right? I mean, he's gonna.
His feathers were flying all over the place.
Okay. So those two guys, if you don't know, they're from Dominance MMA Management. So they're.
Yeah, his feathers were flying all over.
Rizvan, you see a lot doing.
Rizvan's serious.
Yeah, he does a lot of translating.
These guys are very, very serious. They're not afraid of anything. I'm not afraid of things. These guys are for real. I tell you right now, that's not only about fighting. They where they come from, things get a lot more real than this. You know.
Your fighter, Renato Moicano, he's
we're from Brazil.
He's
We don't get flustered by this.
But I mean, he was. I guess was he on the opposite side of the bus, so he was away from the glass. So I mean,
we were kind of having fun looking at the action. You know, I mean, we weren't kind of ducking. We're trying to get up and see what was happening. You know,
Could you tell how many people had phones that were trying to record around you?
No, I could not. I mean, you got to remember that this is all happening really fast.
No, but I was shocked by because we have seen the video now from on the bus. I was shocked.
Yeah, somebody shot video inside, right?
Somebody thought that quickly to do it.
I didn't have that reaction. My the only reaction I had when I started seeing Khabib getting flustered up is trying to calm him down.
Yeah. Well, what we saw on that video specifically, and somebody, by the way, not to hurt your feelings even more, somebody made a lot of money by selling that to TMZ, I'm pretty sure. What we saw is Ali looked like he was trying to get off the bus to fight. Like, he looked like he wanted to go. Do you think that was that an act? Or is that what happened on that?
He was flying around there yelling, and you know, I can't tell what his intentions were. You know, I don't know what he was trying to do. I wouldn't have done that.
Well, it only would have made the situation worse.
I would have defended myself if these guys have, if, for example, when I saw Joe Williams getting into it, I felt like getting off the bus because I love Joe.
Yeah.
Okay, and if you know, you're in defensive mode. So if these guys have come off the bus, on the bus, we would have been fighting, you know.
That would have been bad. You're right.
That would have been bad. So but you remember, we're sitting in a bus which has darkened windows, and we're in a dock, and we can't tell really what's going on, you know.
Crazy. All right. Well, listen, we're going to keep reacting on this. We got a lot more to talk about, but we don't want to make you necessarily politicize or talk about reactions or what should happen or what's going to happen. That's what we have to do. You've still got a job to do, but we did want to get your firsthand statement. So.
Well, I need to say something. Listen, we're going on a track with fighting. I think that MMA is a beautiful sport. It's a very technical sport when you are as near as we are to it, and we see the level of technique that's involved in it that the public doesn't get to see, because it happens so fast that if you're not in there watching these guys train, you don't understand it. And I think this whole attitude to sell the sport is going on the wrong track, and I think this is the result. I think that UFC's created a monster in Conor, you know, because first of all, he's a cash cow. Now what is he?
Criminal.
We lost three fights off this card now.
Yes.
Okay, those are three guys. There's six guys that are not fighting.
Yeah, Artem Lobov was pulled because he was in there, which what the hell is Artem doing? He's got a fight in two days. What's he doing in there?
Yeah, so I think that this is something that I don't think that this type of fighting has to go back to the Stone Age.
And I guess we should say, I guess Mike Bond tweeted, I guess Jackson's MMA is confirming that the Borg fight's definitely off as well, or at least he's out. Yeah, I mean, now you're talking about a guy that's the biggest star in the sport,
so he
came in and packed. And I mean, what if Rose says, I don't want to fight anymore? Like, this is craziness.
And you couldn't blame her, because she's going she's going for a 5-round title fight. And in reality, if she's that shooken up by it can mess her up. But the thing, what I want to get to you is, I saw all this stuff start in Brazil when these things happened. And then I saw it grow out of that into a real sport, and a mainstream sport with respect, with all kinds of stuff. Now I'm seeing it come back to something similar than what I used to see in Brazil. Seriously, I've never seen this happen in Brazil.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in New York. Come on. You don't expect things like this to happen. So I think that is the very sorry part of it, is the guy that's at the very top of our sport comes in and does something like this. It's really, really, really... I think there's so many lessons. There really are so many lessons. Because the thing is, we've been selling fights on this type of thing.
Right.
And now we're paying for it.
Right. It's not play drama. I mean, this is real
this
drama.
Is for
and,
real
now,
people,
and now you're.
And we were lucky because, like I said, if somebody got on the bus, if somebody got off the bus, somebody could have got really hurt or could even get killed.
And you're talking about people that weren't even involved, like even at all, losing fights.
That's right.
God, so, I mean, glass in an eye? Can you imagine? What if Ray Borg, he's young.
Yeah.
He's young. Yeah. What if he, all of a sudden, his eye was gone, he could never fight again? How's he going to support his family?
What?
Had a kid last week.
Let me tell you something. The problem is, it can't be only about money. It has to be about the sport. The money will come if people start focusing back on the sport. We've lost focus on the sport, and we're focusing on the hype, on the hate, on other things that, guess what? You know, these guys are examples to a lot of little kids. Is that the kind of example that we want? How many kids look up to Conor McGregor?
That's on.
Is that the kind of example we want to set to these kids?
No.
Is that the kind of sport we want in 10 or 20 years? It's not.
No.
And it's not the sport. To tell you the truth,
this has nothing to do with the sport.
The majority of the people that fight in these octagons and these rings are respectful people. They're hardworking kids. They're very smart. They're very technical. But the problem is that this kind of thing has been making money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's happening. I think, at least. That's my opinion.
I agree. All right, well, listen. We'll let you get out of here because...
Real quick, though, because we've already gone over it over and over again. But I want to say, because we keep getting it on Twitter, like, do you realize how many people have said this is fake? Like, everybody...
This is not...
That's what I'm saying. You were there, so I just want... one more time.
Fake. This is not fake. Yeah, I heard that from somebody actually saying that this was a play for Conor McGregor to make money. This is not true. This is a guy that is completely emotionally unstable and did something extremely stupid that nobody could foresee. You know, and the problem has been that we've been clapping our hands for things like that. We've been thinking this is nice and fun and it sells tickets. But now we're paying for it.
Yeah.
You know what? The world, you know, it runs in circles. It's cyclical. It's come back. Bit us in the ass.
All right. Well, the rest of us have a lot to talk about. We also just got some pizza delivered over there from Dan Tom, MMA junkie analyst and former Brooklyn resident, has stopped off and brought us some fantastic-looking pizza. Where's that from?
Roberto's.
Roberta's, which I am told is a Brooklyn institution and the best. So we will let you get out of here, my friend, and we will probably dive into the pizza over there, and then we'll reset because we still have a lot to break down. If you guys are watching live, stay tuned. We'll just we'll just kill the audio for a second while we reset, and we'll get everything redone, and we'll just keep going, and we'll kind of interact there. And yeah, thank you, brother. Welcome back to MMA Roadshow. Our man Dan Tom, who did a fantastic job of dropping dinner off for the crew. We through the magic of the podcast, we just basically scarfed down as much dinner as we could, which was fantastic. And there's still some leftovers over there, awesome. So we'll do it. Dan Tom, I want to talk to you just a second. Adam Hill, I want to follow up with you real quick because I know you've been doing some reporting. I guess basically we should say, as we're doing this live, I mean, we're this is yes. This is like breaking news, right? This must be like to work like a breaking news desk, like a live show on CNN or something like that.
Yeah, I assume you're doing the same thing I am. I'm getting texts from editors. I'm getting, you know, we got a statement that we just got on Twitter and an email.
It's crazy.
And there's, you know, managers that you've texted earlier finally texting back. I actually, I'll say this, I contacted a lawyer earlier to kind of ask some legal questions about the whole situation, a friend of mine that I know, but he actually just got back to me and called me about some stuff. So it's happening as we speak. Like, things could change in the next 5 minutes.
That's crazy. Used to doing live radio. See, we're used to doing
podcasts.
That's true. All right, let's start out with let's just do the statement real quick, just so anybody that's watching live. During today's media event at Barclays Center to promote UFC 223 Khabib versus Holloway, Conor McGregor and Artem Lobov entered the building accompanied by over a dozen individuals. The group, which included McGregor and Lobov, vandalized the vehicle that contained a number of athletes competing at the event taking place this weekend. NYPD was immediately alerted and is currently in the process of investigating the situation. UFC is working very closely with the New York Athletic Commission, Barclays Center Security, and law enforcement authorities. All parties are working together to ensure the highest standard of proper safety precautions are implemented to protect the fans and athletes. The organization deems today's disruption completely unacceptable and is currently working on the consequences that will follow. Immediately, Lobov has been removed from this weekend's card, and individuals involved in the incident are not welcome at tomorrow's ceremonial weigh-in or Saturday's event at Barclays Center.
Wait a minute. So they said in the statement that they're not welcome at the event. When I asked the question if they're allowed at the event, it was like it was the dumbest question ever asked.
Dana did look at you like you were an idiot.
He did. And then he addresses my question in the statement that he puts out.
Well, he probably realized that, I guess, other people are idiots, too.
That's infuriating.
All right, so, Adam, I want to talk to you. I mean,
why?
You know, in Las Vegas, I mean, you're not only a sports guy. I mean, you're a news guy, too, man. You cover the beat very, very well. So I just
I'm going to cut it real quick on this. Last time I was in New York for UFC – I don't know if you remember this, the terrorist attack happened in New York the week of the fights.
Oh, jeez.
And I was dispatched to not cover MMA that week.
That's right.
And to instead cover the attack all week.
That's right.
So, like, New York is crazy.
It is crazy.
Too many crazy things happen.
Every time
here.
We come here, something weird happens.
It's insane.
So let's talk about the news beat up. I mean, you've been in touch, I know, with public information officers. You know, everybody's working. Give me an idea of what you think is. You talked about the lawyer thing as well. I mean, we know that some kind of punishment is coming from the UFC at some point. You know, when we talked to Dana White earlier today, it sounds like they're saying, "Listen, we're going to let the legal process play out first. Then we're going to make our decision." I mean, let's be honest. The UFC doesn't want to. I mean, they could very well come out right now and say, you know what, Conor McGregor, we're done with you. We don't care about you anymore. Go to Bellator if you want. We're done with you. But their hands are tied because he's the biggest star in the sport, right?
Well, I made the reference earlier. What do you think Paul Daly's thing? Paul Daly just pushed an official, and he's never allowed to even think about fighting in the UFC again. Conor McGregor just removed – what happened? Oh, Paul Daly, I'm talking with Koscheck.
The late punch
I'm sorry,
it
wasn't an official.
Jason High was messing up my own.
I'm messing up my own analogies here. Thank you. Mike is the historian and aficionado of all things. So he
and
I'm
you know that
there.
Push came at 3 minutes and 12 seconds in the second round.
It was after the bell.
Third latest push in stoppage.
That's great. So I think the UFC has decisions to make, but I don't know how much of it is going to be their decision, like. They're not going to release Conor.
Right. Not going to happen.
If he's able to fight, it'll be in the UFC. Like, they have him under contract. There's no way they're going to say – they're not going to take a stand and say, we can't accept – we're not going to allow this. He's gone.
Right.
But I don't know how much is in their hands. Like, I don't think – I don't think Conor's going to jail for 2 years or anything like that. Like, the things that he has to worry about, certainly the civil suits – if one of these injuries is, and I'm trying to think of what the exact word is because obviously we're not lawyers, we cover MMA. If it's
permanent disfiguration, is that
if
what
it's
you said?
Permanent disfiguration, it becomes a felony. So he definitely doesn't want that. And that,
which
that,
maybe like had Ray Borg lost an eye, that would definitely qualify.
Right. And by
but
the way,
does
we don't know.
Chiesa being scarred qualify?
We don't know what's going on with Borg now, because if it's getting worse and if there is something stuck in his eye, like, you never know what could happen with that. So he's got to hope that there's no lasting damage that could be argued to be disfiguration. So he's got to hope for that. And he's got to deal with that. But I think there also is, and listen, I'm trying to ask around about these things. Like, again, we don't know. We have to learn and research these. Like, if he is charged with a crime of some sort, would he be able to fight in the U.S.?
Right.
Like, he's
not a citizen.
He's not a citizen.
He has a visa,
so
just like
what
everybody
happens,
else.
What happens then? I mean, and I don't know if a misdemeanor or felony is a huge difference on that. I'm sure it is. But all these things are going to factor into what
these
happens
are real
in
considerations.
His future. I mean, everybody's saying, like, oh, the UFC, it's going to do big business for them, and then he's going to come back and fight. Yeah, I'm sure they would love for him to, even if they're mad at him right now and angry. I don't know how much is in their hands. Mm-hmm. And maybe, who knows, maybe nothing comes of it. I mean, I think it's a pretty easy case. Like, he swarmed the bus. We see him on video throwing the thing. There's not really much of an argument. Like, my assumption is he's going to get arrested. He's going to be charged with something, and he'll plead guilty to something. And I'm sure he'll have good lawyers and plead down. But all of those other factors then kick in. And then what does the commission do? I mean, the commission could then tell him he's out for 2 years for something like this. You just have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think it would be amazing for the UFC to, and I don't mean this in a rude way or wish bad on Conor McGregor or anything like that. I think it would be amazing for the UFC to come in and say, this is unacceptable, it's ridiculous, and we're done with Conor McGregor. But it ain't going to happen.
No, of course
you
not.
You know that's not going to happen.
And you wouldn't, you wouldn't, I'm sure, as you said, it'd be like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. What the UFC did. But you wouldn't. It's a business. You wouldn't expect them to do something like that.
That's their biggest asset.
Yeah, I wouldn't want them to do that.
Crazy. All right, Dan Tom. Madness, right? I mean, you were en route to New York all day, and this kind of unfolds, and you're fine about it when you land. I mean, so as somebody that was, like, literally stuck in a metal tube in the middle of the sky, and then all of a sudden you land, and I'm assuming your social media, you're trying to piece together what the hell happened. Give me an idea what your initial reactions were.
Well, what made it even better was, I don't know if I can share our little correspondence we had, John.
Sure.
But before I got on the plane, you were literally one of the last people I emailed before going up into the air. And to my surprise, I got a response from you that said, hey, looks like we might have an easy day
today.
We're
going to have an easy night tonight, man. Stop by. We'll have a couple beers. We'll have some pizza. It'll be fun. You can show us around Brooklyn. That didn't quite work out so well.
Yes, the flight gets there early, and everything is just working out too well.
Well,
you
landed early, too.
Yeah, I landed early. I'm like, geez. Oh, I got extra time on my hands. What's going on the Twitterverse?
Oh, my God.
And it was just madness. It felt like akin to watch. I felt like I was tuning on pro wrestling back in my, you know, it's like the mid-90s again. I'm back in junior high.
Right.
And I'm turning on the pro wrestling to see what's going on in the WCW, the WWF, and it's just madness. It's just mad. I didn't even. I mean, let me preface it. The April Fool's joke that we already kind of primed us, I should say that primed
what
us.
What a ridiculous 5-day stretch this has been.
And then there's even more news, which I'm just finding out. I feel like I'm late to the party. You know, it's so much that I think even people that are in the know, John. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. You guys are on the ground. I feel like even people that are in the know are getting hit with it just as fast.
Absolutely.
Because it's coming from all different directions.
Hell,
right?
We're still trying to figure it out while we're talking about it, man.
Yeah,
I mean, we're literally you're over
I'm
there
responding
texting
to
right
text
now.
Right now.
All right, well, listen. Let's get to a couple questions for people that are watching live, which is awesome. I think this is one of the reasons we wanted to start doing this, and I think we're gonna do more of this. But it's great because they shouted you out. Audie France one says, I just need to hear from Dan Tom on why Max will win on Saturday. So we've talked
a lot. You're doing fight talk?
We talked a lot about Conor McGregor.
Is
I want to break for just
week?
A second. I want to break for
doing?
Just a second and talk about
what
this main
this?
Event. All right, so let's – I mean, Conor McGregor has dominated the headlines, but now we want to talk briefly at least – about this main event, right? You mentioned the April Fool's joke, you know, that we thought might have been a joke.
Yes,
Tony Ferguson.
Yeah.
Out. Max Holloway in, and you and I, hell, we've been talking a lot this week. You know, I was like, Dan, I'm sorry, man. I know it's late Sunday night. What can you do? Let's get some analysis together. I think we were all bummed that Tony Ferguson was out. Of course, this is a fight we've all wanted to see. Then Max Holloway steps in. You go, well, hell yeah, I like that fight. I will say, once we later found out that Brian Ortega was willing to take the fight, I was a little sad because I think Brian Ortega, Khabib Nurmagomedov would be a badass fight. But kudos to the Pelotes Grande on Max Holloway. I mean, this dude to, you know, has his winning streak, you know, he's champ of another division, to step up on a week's notice, you know, move up a division against the feared Russian, you know, the guy that Alex Davis just told us is a legit badass outside of just being a great fighter. I mean, dude, it's a tall order for Max Holloway. That said, Max Holloway is a great fighter. The press conference yesterday was fantastic, man. The atmosphere in that building was awesome. The little back and forth between the two was incredible. So he's not asking you your opinion. He's not asking for a pick. Audie France 1 says, I just need to hear from Dan Tom on why Max will win on Saturday. Now, I'm not saying you're saying he will, but if you had to make the case, how can you make it?
This is perfect because this is the one thing I feel that if I had to say there's one thing that maybe my breakdown was missing was maybe a little bit more of a detail of a scenario how Max could do it. But the problem was I couldn't give that in the breakdown because a lot of that was based off intangible. That's the interesting thing about this fight is because we all talk about the intangible of what? 6 days notice. No matter what analysis we can do, I can lay out all the X's and O's, John. But it comes down to that 6 days notice.
Yes.
But like everything in life, like MMA, it's a two-way street, right? And we have to look at all the intangibles, and Khabib has some of his own. You know, Khabib has had rough weight cuts in the past, and he came out and he had a great one last time, right? He kind of shut us up in the Edson Barbosa fight. But, you know, not to put the speculative hat on, he looked a little drawn out. You know, there was a loss of him at a certain time, loss of his location on a day where they really weren't sending him around. So, okay, how lost was he really getting at that point? You guys have been around the game. Yep. You guys know the code talk.
He was looking rough today. He was not looking pretty today.
Open workouts.
If you want to look at the YouTube video, we did talk to him for a few minutes today. You know, he said he's going to be first in line tomorrow. He said he's going to be there. It's going to be done. But, yeah, he was looking a little thin.
And so now you take that, right? We've seen what bad weight cuts can do. And we've seen that bad weight cuts can even kind of tap the chins, tap the armor of guys we thought were impervious. We've seen it a million times. A lot of times, talking about the chin and the shots, when it is a shot, it's often a little times it's a little flick of the jab, right? We see those highlight, those kind of like, oh, the jab knocks out the Forrest Griffin Anderson Silva. And you find out Forrest was knocked out, or there's something that was compromising the guy's health, in other words, right? And we've seen it. And Max, that's one of the things like, well, he doesn't really have the puncher's chance because he doesn't really have the one punch knockout power, which is true. But again, if we're talking about a two-way street of intangibles, you know, Max Holloway can put that volume. He just needs that one kind of offsetting shot. He doesn't knock out Khabib Cole, but kind of, you know, offset him and build upon there. It's a long shot, but that is kind of the one scenario I see in my head.
I like that, you know, because it is hard if you're really breaking down this fight. I do think it's hard to build a case for Max where you're like, and this is why Max is going to win. You can say, here's how Max could win. I mean, everything, all those little intangibles, they're all leaning towards Khabib, right? I mean, it's tough. But listen, man, and I even, you know, this was outside of the interview. I'll just be honest with you. We got done with the interview, and I just took a second to shake Max's hand, and I was like, Max, you deserve all the respect in the world for doing this. And I mean that. The guy honestly deserves. This is not a move that a lot of people make, and for him to do it, man, it's the guy. Hopefully, win or lose, hopefully gains a lot of fans.
I'm gonna be the jerk now.
No,
isn't it as much of a no lose situation as you could possibly have in a title fight?
Okay, in fairness, if you're talking about like on paper, yes, but to call a no lose situation to know that you might be stuck under a mean Dagestani for about 25 minutes just pounding you in the face, and what if oh my god, what if by chance you cause some, you know, further injury to that ankle that's recovering and now you're out for a year or something? So yeah, I mean, I get it, you're right. You go back to your division at 145, you say, hey, listen, I tried to step up on a week's notice. I was a badass, you know. So I do agree in that regards, but there's a lot of physical pain and potential risk of future injury.
Listen, I'm sure what it sounds like is like, oh, you're taking shots at Holloway. Of course, it's all there. Like, if I'm in his situation, there's no way I'm taking the fight.
Exactly.
But at the same time, I don't know that you could possibly be in a title fight with less to lose. I don't know that it's possible.
I agree with that.
Like, no matter what happens, he goes out and gets massacred for 25 minutes, which is very possible.
Right.
Like, I just fought the best dude in the world. I was playing Fortnite 6 days ago. I flew cross country. What do you want from me?
All right. And everybody still goes kudos.
And everybody still gives you
good for you.
You could have the worst performance possible, and everybody's still like,
I agree with that. Great job, man. Career arc wise, other than maybe immediate physical pain and potential injury and potential, like, you know,
you're putting
aggravating that ankle.
That in the marketing of the 12 fight winning streak.
Right.
But I think the marketing of doing this way outweighs the 12-fight winning streak.
But the plus side now, this you know, I've been saying this all week before today happened. The plus side, if Max was able to win this fight somehow and be the champ, and now you can mark it against Connor, you know, I'm the guy. You're the guy that had two belts. I'm the guy that has two belts. You know, if you want to talk about it, come and get me. Of course, now we you know everything's kind of up in the air. Matthew Stewart says, and either one of you guys feel free to weigh in. Sup, guys? What do you think is a good punishment for Connor? What is a good punishment for Connor? Let's say.
Oh,
let's
say. I know what it is.
Okay, let's hear it.
You're fighting Khabib Saturday.
Yeah.
Like, sorry. Sign
yeah,
the contract.
Yeah. Get in there, bro. Yeah. Step in there.
That is a fantastic
yes,
punishment.
Yes,
all past the gold. All past the gold, right there. Take away the gold. You want any kind of gold? And any there's your path right there.
It's that is incredible. That would be incredible,
yes.
Right? Guess
yes.
What?
Yeah, you're fighting him.
And in fact, you get to go after Max, so it's okay. No, no, but, yeah. No. That would be all right. So listen, but, okay, Adam, you're as cynical as they come.
That is correct.
All right, but you're a realist as well. Realistically, what kind of judicial punishment does he receive?
I honestly mean
there's no way he gets off scot-free.
If I'm the UFC, I'm waiting for everything. I'm waiting for the court. I'm waiting for the commission
appeals.
I'm waiting for the government.
Yeah.
Potential immigration yeah. Status, like I'm waiting for all of that stuff, and then I'm like, okay, and we'll see what happens. If like if he goes to jail for a year, I don't, he's not going to,
right?
I'm
no way
certain,
no way,
that he has good enough lawyers that it's gonna be okay. Let's say he went to jail for a year, then if I'm the UFC, I'm like, all right, he did a year. Like, he did a year in jail. Like,
I'm done.
That's pretty much the penalty. But if he gets nothing and the commission is like, well, he wasn't even a licensed fighter at the time, we don't have jurisdiction over this, I don't think they do that either. But if like, the best-case scenario for Connor happens, then I think you say he's suspended for a year
right.
Or whatever you want to do. If the worst case, I think you say nothing from us. I mean, I think you have to wait for all those scenarios to play out before you even start to think about what you're going to do for him.
I agree. I think at the very least – I bet he gets some kind of probation. He's got to get some kind of probation, right? Yeah. I don't think he'll get jail time, but I bet he gets some kind of probation, which could involve visa issues,
yeah.
Which could involve being able to fight in the United States. I mean, obviously they can take him anywhere in the world, and it's going to be a sellout.
And if you're
right?
Watching this, by the way, I hate doing this because it's speculation about, like, I'm saying right now to you guys listening and watching, I don't know anything about immigration status.
No,
I don't
no.
know any of that stuff. I'm just, like, going through scenarios in my mind right. Of I'm not sure what your status would be if you're charged with a felony.
Well, and normally,
or if you're convicted of a felony.
Normally, too, I feel like when we're in situations like this, we're talking about allegations of like a he said, she said,
yeah,
he said,
right on
he
tape.
Said. Like,
yeah.
We've literally all seen it. You know yes. What I mean? So I feel like we can talk a little bit more authoritatively.
Yeah.
But I feel like I would agree. Maybe like just at least don't let the guy fight the rest of the year, right? I mean, he's probably going to get some probation. You're right. The UFC is not going to do anything
right.
Before all the legislation is done, before basically their hand is forced, where it's like, okay, everybody else has had their say. Now what is your say?
Yeah.
I got to say at the very least, like, don't let the guy fight for the rest of the year, right? They need the money.
They need it, man. They need it. Although, hey, listen. 2017, their best year ever, John. I don't know if you know this. I don't know if you're aware of this. So, hey, you can take 2018 off a little bit. You had your best year ever
last
year.
Yeah, fair enough. It's a down year after the record year.
Yes.
All right, Joe Black says, most people are saying Connor did it on purpose to get kicked out of fighting. Now, I was going to say, most people, I might find some real issue with the most people. Now,
yeah.
If you told me some people, or if you told me I met one guy who said it, I might be okay with that. But, A, and most people is definitely wrong. Second, did it on purpose to get kicked. There's a lot easier ways to get kicked out of fighting. And not that, why do you need to get kicked out of fighting? You
just
got $100 million in the bank.
Just
yeah.
Don't fight.
You're like, I'm done.
What? That's insane. Now, remember, like 30 seconds ago, you can, I don't know if you have the capability to rewind, you could do that. Remember I said I don't like speculating?
Right.
Speculating away now. Here's what I think happened.
Yes, there we go.
I think Connor and his boys went there to scare the hell out of Khabib.
Right.
They wanted to surround him. They wanted to do the same thing that they did to Lobov the other day.
Right.
Surround him, scare him. And they knew at the hotel, all of his guys are around. At the media day, there'd be two or three people around.
Right.
So we're going to go do this at media day. We're going to surround him. We're going to scare him. And they got there, and they're on the bus, and they're like, we can't get to him. We don't know what's going on. Everybody's yelling and screaming. And Connor's like, I'm going to be the badass right now. Watch this. I'm going to throw this thing through the window. And I have no idea after, like, again, this is complete speculation, but, like, and then he might have been like, Why did I just do that? Why did I do that? Like in the heat of the moment, like, look at that! I'm gonna throw this through the window, and like you don't think it's gonna break?
Well, yeah,
and they're gonna get on people's
maybe
eyes.
Maybe it's kind of like at the press conference at Madison Square Garden. Was like, I'm gonna throw this chair.
Although
security, Steve and Dana, you're grabbing me, right? Yeah. You're totally grabbing me, right? Yeah. And there, nobody's there to grab him.
Yeah, whether you want to play rules or not, I agree. There's a certain raw emotion to that. Because I was thinking the same thing. Like, how many times? I'm sure we could all pull up an instance right now off the top of our head. Most of this is hopefully happened within high school or earlier, where we came in and we started, horsing around with our boys, and something happened. I remember the same thing. Kenny will appreciate this. Went into the theater because we were theater guys, right? And there was
many. Oh wow,
guys,
we got another guy.
Yeah,
with
I know.
I didn't know Dan and Tom had jazz
hands. Yeah, I did. I got.
Coffee's got jazz hands.
I got some credit, and me and my friends, we would get kicked out of plays because we would change words and
out of plays.
Yeah,
you guys were gangsters.
We were gangsters. We were bad. Anyways, but. Point is, one day we thought it'd be funny to go and just mess with the. I think we were just angry or something, the teacher or something. We're like, let's go and mess with the props department and let's go mess some things around. So we start messing things up. So we start throwing stuff down. You know,
life chose me.
And next thing you know, I see a fire extinguisher there, just sitting there all by its lonesome. And I decided to pick it up and I decided to give it a spray. And then my other buddy gives it a spray. Next thing you know, we all start giving it sprays. Next thing you know, the sprays.
Is that how you spray?
Lead off the
you
fire department. Yeah. Well, it was. It actually, the cap was broken off, which is another side story to that. So it was making a real big mess, and it set the fire alarm off. Next thing you know, what started off as a little prank, we just came in to do a little roustabout, get a laugh, get a reaction. Now we have the fire department trucks coming, and we're looking at our watches, doing about time to the old rusty trail move. And but again, just kind of sorry, long story, but again.
Are you saying my speculation might actually be accurate? Like it could be.
Saying that speculation is actually probably the most accurate speculation I've heard all day. Actually, Adam,
that's good. I like that. You know, this is a complete. I'm going to completely throw everybody off and go in a complete direction right now. This day has been crazy, right?
Yes.
Insane.
Yes, sir.
You know that, like Ronda Rousey is headlining WrestleMania this week. that's the most normal thing of this week that's going to happen.
It was bizarre.
Well, that and Khabib destroying Max Holloway. Those are the two normal things that are going to happen this week. But that's the most insane. Like, wait a minute. The two biggest stars in the sport, one is tearing up the backstage and knocking people out of fights without even trying and breaking glass and destroying people's eyes and getting arrested. And the other is in wrestling.
We lost three fights today.
I know.
Three fight. We haven't even hit the scales yet.
Yeah.
What if
Khabib or Max miss? I mean, Max is very likely.
God.
Not very likely. I should say very very possible that Max could miss weight. Khabib's had issues in the. What if one of those misses tomorrow?
Could you imagine if one or two people miss tomorrow and they're like, at that point, I mean, you got to be talking about seriously canceling the event.
No,
you can't.
At that point,
there's too many millions.
But you know what you do at that point, Connor. I was
too
shaken up.
Khabib.
No. I was too shaken up. I was, I saw what happened. It was crazy.
You've got to get him out there talking.
I couldn't cut weight.
Oh yeah.
You want me to cut weight after I just went through that? I would say.
Connor's gonna get so many suits.
Yeah.
All right. Peter Hupton says, "Damn, that is the biggest Coors Light bottle I've ever seen." listen, there's a deli around the corner that is selling 40-ounce bottles of Coors Light, 40-ounce bottles of Budweiser as well. And listen, we're all about trying to work on a budget. And they happen to be the cheaper, so that's what we do. Matthew Stewart says, "You guys think that Khabib will talk smack to Holloway while he's beating him?" So Matthew Stewart is not believing in Holloway's chances at all.
No, he's going to talk to Connor.
He'll talk to Connor.
Yeah. Talk to the camera.
To the camera. I was going to say, because Connor won't be there. We know that.
We know. Well, wasn't that crazy of a question, though? Yes. Yes, he will not be there. He'll talk to the camera.
Trash to Holloway and he'll talk to you.
Where are you at, Connor?
I don't know. What am I favorite moments?
That would be great. That would be great. Wait, if he's literally just talking to the camera, where are you at, Connor? But damn it, that'd we can't good. See the fight now. We can't see the fight.
I don't think you talk trash to Max, though, because one of my favorite parts this week, I don't know what part of fight week, but Khabib said aloha, and hearing him say aloha in that Russian accent was just awesome.
He's been great. Khabib's been fantastic this week. I just feel, the back and forth. You know what sucks is that literally all we're going to end up talking about is Connor. And, like, this card is stacked, loaded. We had so much we could talk about. So, I had the damn fight analyst on right here, and all we talked about was.
Even when you said, I had the same reaction, Adam. You're like, "Oh, you want to break down fights? Like fights that are happening in the cage?"
No. Street fights. We were talking about the fight. Yeah,
everything happening this week.
I wanted to know if you saw the footage backstage. I wanted to see who was the strongest of the security guards that stepped in there. So, Ah, ridiculous. All right, well, Dan Tom, I appreciate you jumping on. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take another quick break, reset real quick. The young Mike Bond is back from one of his multiple smoke breaks that he takes every evening, going down 14 floors, stepping out into the ice cold so that he can fill his lungs with cancer. Welcome back to the MMA Roadshow. We have asked Mr. Dan Tom to give up his seat, as he has so graciously done. The young Mike Bond is done poisoning his lungs outside and is ready to sit down with us as well. You know, the young Mike Bond has made some poor health decisions this evening. You know, Conor McGregor made some poor health decisions. Lots of poor decisions being made around the house. If you want to make a good decision, you know what you need to do? You need to seek out life insurance. And if you need to do that, you need to go to Health IQ. The MMA Roadshow is sponsored by Health IQ, an insurance company that helps health-conscious people like runners, cyclists, weightlifters, and vegetarians get lower rates on their life insurance. Go to healthiq.com/road to support the show and get your free quote. Mike won't be able to give him great information. Conor McGregor will probably upset them as well, but other people will get better results. What you do is you give them a call. It's all about better science, guys. Health IQ spent years gathering the science and data to prove the health conscious deserve lower rates. Over 1 million people took their Health IQ quiz and formed the basis for the scientific analysis of the relationship between health and health knowledge. They took all the years of data and science on the health conscious to the top carriers and partnered with them to get the lowest rates on life insurance for the health conscious. You reach out, they take you on a journey learning about your lifestyle and your choices. It's like getting good driver rates. If you're health conscious, they'll help with the underwriting so everyone understands that with specific stats and information, they can get you covered. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/road or mention the promo code ROAD when you talk to a Health IQ agent. Look at that, Reeve. What? Ooh.
Sorry to jump in on your read here.
I know. Don't interrupt the read.
Breaking news, Conor McGregor in custody with the New York Police Department.
No way.
At the current moment.
Wow.
Who's that from?
That is from NBC New York.
Oh, what do they know? I bet they got a – yeah. All right. Young Mike Bond, listen, man, you had a ringside seat for all this – three-ring circus this evening. Give us your initial thoughts. I mean, we've been breaking it down. I almost feel bad that we're taking so much time talking about it when there's so many damn good fights. But just give me your initial thoughts. I mean, sum it all up. I mean, here's this guy, Conor McGregor, that I mean, you know, the lead-up to the Floyd Mayweather fight, like, whether you like, you know, the idea of the fight, whatever, it was just like, man, here's this guy that was a plumber's assistant or whatever, a plumber's apprentice a couple years ago collecting social welfare, and now, you know, he's collecting a $100 million paycheck. Like, God bless him, man. If that ain't the, you know, the American dream, the Irish dream, just a world dream to come from nothing and make everything out of yourself, God damn it, man.
From nothing to something to everything.
Went from negative to positive, and it's all good. We're in Brooklyn right now. I will quote Biggie.
Man,
all
you guys
day.
Are coming up with some original stuff.
Well, I'm just quoting
knowledge
Biggie.
That you're. I've never heard lines like this. All right, so to do that to now, I mean, listen, just to me at this point, and I'm sorry, I always say don't say something about a person that you wouldn't say to their face, but at this point, it's off the rails. If Conor McGregor was sitting right here, I'd say, bro, this is off the rails, man. I get it. I understand. You're operating on a higher level than me. You know more about promoting the fight game than I do. Obviously, you've been the one to make millions of dollars. You know more about how this Irish and Russian scene – I don't know. You know – I'll give him all that. But this, to me, it's ridiculous. It's indefensible. All those words that Dana White used to describe it – criminal, indefensible, reprehensible, whatever.
Disgusting.
Disgusting. So give me your thoughts, Mike Bond.
It's just, I don't even know what to say that hasn't been said. It's just disappointing. I mean, it's been building, though. Like, you go back to the UFC 202 press conference with the bottle throwing stuff, right. Him jumping the cage in the Bellator fight, just all these things. It seems like every few months over the past, you know, couple of years, there's been something going on with Conor McGregor that's had to do outside the cage. And this is just another incident. I mean, it's just sad to see is, like, you know, this guy, you think back, I was actually watching, because they just put it up on Netflix, the Notorious documentary again. I watched it, you know, when it kind of first came out, but you see this guy in his tiny little apartment with his girl at the time, just, like, you know, not, you could never call Conor McGregor, like, so humble or anything, but, right. like, because he always has kind of that confident bravado, but he was just a guy that wanted to make it in the sport and wanted to be a world champion and had those dreams, and it just seems like so long ago that he conquered that and was, like, you know, on top of the world as this fighter. And we just haven't – all the stories related to him for so long have just been, you know, not good – like, not a good look for him. And today was just, you know, took it over the edge. Today was – it's been building and building and building. And I really thought, like, when that Bellator thing happened and he jumped the cage and he hit the official and all that stuff happened, I'm like, okay, this is peak. Like, where it doesn't get much worse from this. And here we are today talking about something that's so much worse than that. Like, multiple people injured. We had three fighters taken off this card. And I know Artem Lobov, you know, his fight getting removed is his own doing for being involved in that. But we have people that are completely unrelated to this. You know, like, you guys talked about Ray Borg, a young guy who just had a kid who's just a flyweight trying to make it in this game. Like, and he's taking food off these guys' table. And it's just like, what would he have been like if the roles were reversed and he was one of those fighters? Like, how would he be acting? What would he be saying? And to just see him have evolved into this person that is doing this kind of stuff is just, it's gross.
It's got to, I mean, listen, and you laid out those incidents perfectly. You laid out the timeline perfectly. And what's the common thread? Nothing happened. Nothing happened. There was nothing that made him stop and go, ah!
And that's the thing, because that's what you do. If you can get away with something and you continue to get away with it, you keep doing it. I mean, I'm sure we all have our things in life where it kind of falls under that umbrella that, you know, maybe you shouldn't be doing this and that, but you'll get punished for it, whatever.
What? Something that you should do that you do a lot
as
of.
As John takes a big swig of his tall beer. Yeah, like, it's...
No idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's... What do you do at this point? I mean, there needs to be serious repercussions to this, and it seems like there will be. I mean, even if it's just a financial penalty, and for whatever... Say the UFC doesn't do anything on its own, he's going to have other things going on with these fighters that he... You know, he's going to get sued by multiple people. He hurt... Like, I don't even think we know the full extent of everything that's happened yet.
So...
Are you going to say something?
Yeah, I'm just trying to monitor news as we're also talking. So, the reports that Conor is in custody that we talked about seem to be confirmed by a couple sources here in New York. But here's another thing that just jumped out at me. Police sources told the New York Post earlier in the day they believe this was a publicity stunt.
Holy shit.
What is that? Okay, so I've seen someone... let's talk about this for a sec. Stage, a publicity stunt. Dana White paid him to do this. All these ridiculous things that we've probably all seen on our Twitter timelines in responses to our posts about this stuff today. Like... I want to hear the person that, if you truly believe this, what's the argument here? Publicity for what? This pay-per-view that, yes, okay, he could be fighting Max Holloway or Khabib before all this happened. Who knows what's going to happen in the future? Yeah, like, yeah. He could be the next opponent for this guy, Tony Ferguson, when he was in there. It seemed obvious. What does this benefit? You know, how is this building the event, building the fight more? Like, I just don't understand what a publicity stunt for what.
And by the way, go put us in jeopardy of, you know, ripping the eyes out of one of our fighters.
Exactly, like,
and
what,
destroying the face of another one.
If you wanted to have a publicity stunt, there's a hell of a lot more things you could have done. That Conor McGregor could have come into the venue, like, if this was set up by the UFC or whatever, could have come into the Barclays Center when Khabib and Max Holloway were facing off and yelled some stuff from the back of the room. All the cameras would have... Like, he could have done a million things that, A, wouldn't have put people in danger. B, wouldn't have, you know, potentially cost him money. C, could put him in jail, you know, seemingly at this point.
When Adam and I walked back over to the Barclays Center, the look of every single UFC employee, the look on their face of just, like, horror, shell shock. I mean, it was... It was not one of those, like, haha, we pulled that off for the world to see. You know, it was just everyone was appalled and shocked and frustrated. So it's crazy. All right, Mike.
By the way, they do have behind the scenes people that were injured today. That, you know, nobody's talking about them. They're talking about fighters. Like, you really think the UFC has a ton of? They're gonna put they're gonna be risking a lawsuit of their employees getting injured for. For what publicity? It doesn't make any sense. Now, my suspicion reading the story, that gets the headline, of course, suspect that it could be publicity stunt. My suspicion is that...
That was
earlier
in the day.
The New York Post talked to... It was definitely early in the day.
Yeah.
But the New York... They probably talked to an officer or, you know, somebody behind the scenes, and they're like, I don't know, it was probably a publicity stunt. You know, something was going on over there, and then somebody ran with that. Right. So I don't know that there's actual, you know, people involved in this investigation that thought that way. Yeah. And I'll tell you,
if anybody spent more than 5 minutes investigating,
Not to interrupt, but we at USA Today Sports, AJ Perez has confirmed that Conor McGregor is in custody. So there we go.
Jesus, we could sit here and just stream for more hours. We got early weigh-ins in a few hours. All right, the fights that are left, Mike. I mean, I know, like I said, I feel guilty. We're doing is sitting here talking about Conor, man. I mean, the fights that are left on the card, give me some ideas, some of the things you're looking for, some of the things we can watch out for, fights that mean something. I mean, you know, I'm on the Zabit train, by the way. I've been on the Zabit train from day one. Hopefully, you know, maybe his fight gets elevated a little bit. People see some more of that. I think
not even sure who's on this card anymore at this point. Like,
it's literally just like a fight night at this point. They're just waiting for people to fall out.
I mean, even then, still with 10 fights, all the fights are good. I mean, there's some good fights on here. And yeah, I mean, of course, like me personally, I have a very good long-standing relationship with Max Holloway. I only came down here after the main event was changed, so of course that's the fight I'm looking forward to most. But I know you guys touched on it a little bit. And
a good relationship. You dress the same.
He dresses the same as me, okay? he likes me. Yeah, if anyone wants to see Max Holloway, who wore it better, you can make your decision on your own.
Yeah, Max's was a little fancy.
Hey, when
bro,
I did walk up to him, first thing he says was, "Nice chain, bro. I dig it. Where did you get it from?"
By the way, confirmed. I can confirm that report. I was there. I saw it.
Anyways, I mean, there's fights kind of to look at all across here. I like Paul Felder, Ia Quinta. That's a fight we've been waiting for a little while. You know, that one should have happened in Detroit.
Yep.
Obviously didn't go down that way. So I think this is a good thing to see if Ia Quinta, how good he really is. No disrespect to Diego Sanchez, but I think everyone kind of agrees that he's, you know, past his best days.
Right.
So what does a knockout win over him really mean anymore? But nevertheless, Ia Quinta hasn't lost in like 5 years. I know he hasn't fought for the majority of that time, yeah, but still.
There's one way to not lose for 5 years. Only fight twice.
Exactly. So there's good fights head to toe here.
What do you think, you know, everything that we're hearing about Rose, her mental state and all that? I mean, is that a little bit scary? I mean, knowing like how proud we were and amazed we were by the way she mentally dealt with Joanna the first time around?
Yeah, see, that one, I don't really know. I mean, you would think a woman that goes by Thug Rose is not going to be flustered by much, right? And as we saw her in the lead-up to the first fight with Joanna and Jacek, she doesn't get flustered by much.
Right.
You can, you know, stick your damn fist in her face and she's
not going
to move an
inch. But maybe it's not so much about fear, it's just the fact that, like, she's like, all I'm trying to do is preach this message of hope and love and goodness, and this is the shit
Conor McGregor is the antithesis of what she is trying to have in the sport and what she wants the sport to be. It's the complete opposite. So, yeah, I can see that. Like, you know, she is there. You could say she's, like, doing her meditation, doing all these different things to kind of keep herself in this certain state of mind, the certain zone leading into fight night. And I could definitely see how something like this could rattle her in that sense. Like, you're trying to get in your zone of chi, and then, you know, there's glass breaking, there's people getting injured. It's like a chaotic type of war zone type thing. So, yeah, I don't know how much to be concerned by it. I mean, there's things that go on. You know, people said, oh, Joanna said this and this to her, even though she didn't really react at the press conference. Is she in her head? Is this happening? Like,
yeah.
You don't really know. It's hard to say unless she publicly speaks about it. But I think she'll be okay. I think she's, you know, we are still 2 days away from the fight. I think, you know, she has bigger things to think about. She's cutting weight right now, probably.
Yep.
And she's got the weigh-in to do tomorrow. Like, she's got all this stuff going on. So there's some time between the fight. If this happened, you know, fight day is all the fighters were getting brought to the venue on the bus or like something crazy like
that. You wouldn't have time to put it behind you.
Yeah, but I think at this point, you know, she's not going to have to do media about it for the next day, getting asked a million questions about it by all these different reporters.
Like, they don't have to talk to the media tomorrow.
Yeah, if this had happened yesterday,
maybe we just all ask for comment like while they're on the scale.
Yeah.
Everything's about yesterday.
Yeah. So who knows? It could be anything. I mean, I'm sure during the post-fight scrums on fight night, it's going to be basically the question asked to every single fighter because they all have their different accounts to it. So I think in terms of the fight itself, I think Rose will be fine. You know, if she loses, I don't think this is going to be the reason. I think it'll be because possibly Joanna's the better fighter than her, but we'll find that out on fight night. I mean, I don't think this is going to impact the fighters too much on the night.
Adam Hill, I think you were leading the charge to have Anthony Pettis fight Alex Caceres.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say right now, you're crazy. Alex is a bantamweight who just doesn't like cutting weight.
Nick Newell has thrown his name in the hat.
Nick Newell's
he said he can make weight
hat
by tomorrow morning, and he is not too far away. At this point, I don't think any of these fights are getting recovered.
Happen.
Like, dude, it happens so often.
I think
often.
The USC is like just
it happens so often.
What about
you know?
This press conference tomorrow? Colby Covington and Rafael Dos Anjos are going to be on the stage together?
Oh, it's going to be great.
You know what? I'm not going to lie. They should not have them on the stage tomorrow. They should not. I mean, I know they still got to have the big fight, but those two guys were never introduced. The fight still hasn't been officially announced, right?
Nope.
They were going to officially announce it tomorrow. You know what? I'm saying right now, UFC officials, if you're listening, if you're watching – totally. I mean, I know, like, or, you know, if you're not, but I'm just going to throw it out there anyway.
Hi.
Yeah. Seriously. I mean, am I crazy? Like, I mean, in light of what the hell is going
on, at this point,
do we really need to see Colby Covington and Rafael Dos Anjos get up there and be like, and I'm one of the few guys that likes Colby, but to see him get up there and F Brazil and I'll kill all you people and your people are, do we need to see that tomorrow? Do we need to see that tomorrow?
It's so tough because, like, in one sense, as the UFC, you want to move on with your life in a bit. Like, you know, you want to put this behind you, get back to business. You know, as Dana said during the scrum, like, we have a fight to do on Saturday. Like, I want to get through this, and then we'll figure out, I assume, the punishment. So I assume they want to, like, operate their business as normal. But at the same time, like, yeah, if you insist on doing that, better damn well have a shitload of security up there on that stage because, yeah, you do not want to, like, the UFC does not need any more publicity like this, of this kind of stuff going on at the cage.
I'm going to be honest. I don't want to see that press conference tomorrow.
Right?
I don't want to see it. I mean, those press conferences are what? They're about getting this guy to yell at that guy and that guy to yell at that guy and this guy to get in that guy's face and that guy to – I mean,
well, the reason that they like them is because of Conor McGregor, because, like, he was kind of in the first few that they did this and he made them so entertaining.
I'm admitting, I don't want to see the fucking press conference right now.
Because it's almost like Colby will make it a personal thing that he has to one-up.
Yes. Colby is going to feel like he has to one-up Conor. That is Colby Covington right now. Colby Covington has no – like, he doesn't have that governor on him that's like, okay, wait, this is too far for even me. Like, I need to just chill out tomorrow. Dude, I swear to God, they need to not have Colby Covington out there. And I like Colby. They need to not have him out there tomorrow. Am I crazy?
By the way, Kevin Lee's going to be there.
Kevin
just,
Lee? Oh, dude.
Just as a heads up.
We have a lot of characters up there, and it's going to be something. I don't know.
No, you know I am the biggest Kevin Lee fan in the world.
Of course you are.
I've been I will freely admit it, but that's not the guy you want up there either. Like, all of these guys.
You already had him do an incident at one of these things once.
Yes, you don't need it again.
I mean, okay, how about this? In light of everything that's gone on, I mean, we all, like, right? I mean, that's kind of our job, right? Is to get up there and ask a question that doesn't seem completely over the top and disrespectful, but that will elicit some type of response. Do you really feel in the mood to get up there tomorrow and ask questions to see people, like, pissed off at each other?
Yes.
Oh my God.
It's the fight game, bro. Yeah.
Why are we here?
It's a tough thing.
This is what we're here for.
It's a tough thing. I mean, we are here for that. Exactly. We
because
are here
I
for
feel like this is
– No, I know what you're saying. We're not here for – but, yeah, I mean, Conor McGregor has ruined this for everyone, and it's just unfortunate. I mean, there's now a black cloud over this entire fight week, which was the most anticipated – like, as if enough didn't already happen. It loses its main event, which was, like, the most unbelievable thing. I can't believe this is happening again. Then we get to this situation. It's just like – yeah, what do? You lose so many fights. And like I said, I mean, part of me feels like UFC just needs to carry on with its business and, you know, try to show that in some way we don't need Conor McGregor. The show will go on. But, yeah, it's a tough balancing act.
Most impressive part of the day, when Felice Herrig and Karolina Gulkovic faced off, the gun show that Felice Herrig
put
on,
Felice Herrig's back muscles are –
Go check out. If you haven't seen the face-offs because you've been busy watching everything else, go watch the face-offs. They face off, and then Felice flexes. Dude, she is.
I thought you were gonna say the boots.
What? Karolina's boots?
Yeah, sure, nice.
Fine boots on, but that was not really what I was looking at.
I thought you were gonna say that was the most impressive part of the face-off.
I quit.
And very end the nice. Pod.
I can't do this.
Thanks for listening.
By the way, I did say boots with a T.
All right, boys, let's keep it on track. I don't really know.
I'm out. John, thanks for listening.
Probably not supposed to drink on the air.
Is that actually it? Yeah.